be Mary. C.
You go ahead, Miss Sharon. You want to press play for me? Go live. Uh-oh. Yeah, sorry about that. You got it? Oh, you don't fall forward on it. Is it too close? Okay. All right. Welcome, everybody, our Wednesday night service. Good to see everybody. How's everybody doing? Doing good, doing good. Nice, beautiful day today. And I believe yesterday was the first day of spring. And it was more cooler yesterday. And, of course, I believe it was pretty cool this morning, too, as well. But these cool mornings, might as well enjoy them while we have them, because it's going to soon turn to warm, hot, and humid before too long. And, of course, we got the pollen to look forward to now. And all of those things, but anyway, so good to see everybody. Just hope you've had a good day and a good week so far. It's good to be here tonight. And we'll go ahead and jump into our prayer request time as we normally do on Wednesday nights. Remember, the young people tonight, they actually loaded up and went to the movies tonight to go watch a movie, a Noah in the Dark, something like that, a documentary, I think it is, down at the Hiram Movie. At the Hiram Movies in Hiram, and so that's a nice little change of pace for them to get them out a little bit and go watch a movie. And so remember them. I remember Miss Christy, of course, downstairs, and she's teaching the little ones. And of course, just remember those who aren't here tonight who want to be here. And then we got some that are out of town. Let's remember them as well. But let's remember our children's home and staff and children and. Of course, we got James Townsend on our prayer list. He was back. Of course, he and Miss Shirley were here Sunday, so that was good. And Miss Shirley's family, James and Shirley's family, was here, and so that was good to see them. And Glenda Henderson, we still got the Jackson family on here. We might be able to take them off at this point, but let's continue to remember them in prayer. Just a prayer request she had. And remember, Glenda and David, they're out of town tonight, so they're in the mountains. And but let's remember them. Don and Carla Rich over in Peru, Brother Don and his health. Good to see Miss Lee Ellen back with us and her sinuses, that kind of thing. I want to say sinusitis. Yeah, sinusitis. Whatever. I don't do good with words, but some words I don't do good with. But it's good to see you're on the mend of that. But anyway, let's do continue to remember though Miss Leo. She still, I'm sure, has a little ways to go. Chuck Prestridge and some of his family that's recovering from some things. Miss Cece, Claudia Darby, Harold Dolph, Leonard and Dolores Palmer, Connie Norton, which is Trail's wife, with her heart issues. And Trail had a prayer request come in, or he sent one to me. Someone was having surgery, and they made it to the surgery good, so we're thankful for that. Randy and Diane Ely, the Daleys, the Ashworths, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, which are shut-ins, the McCrickards, shut-ins, Joyce Manning, shut-in, and then James Tolan Brown, which we still have on our list. He's in the Marines. And then Kevin Brook, which is in Champion Christian College. But I'll open the floor. Maybe someone has a prayer request, an update, something you want to share tonight. Miss, all right, let's hear it. Excellent. 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 Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Anybody else? Somebody else have a hand up? Yeah, let's see. David Barker actually Sunday morning told me that he went through his operation well, his back surgery, and I believe he was thinking about actually coming to church this Sunday coming up, his church. I don't know. That's a little soon if you ask me, but he's eager to get back to church. And David said he only took one pain pill, and that was like before the surgery in preps, and hasn't taken one since. I said, he's a much better man than I am. I'm a big baby when it comes to pain. But he's doing good. Thanks for asking. And and just continue to pray for his recovery. Anyone else? All right, well, let's just remember again one another in prayer. Remember this coming up Sunday, which is our Youth Sunday. Brother Brian will be bringing the message in the morning. Brother CJ at night. Our young people will be carrying the services as far as music and all. And so we're looking forward to that. And if anybody can make it, of course, there's the Crown Easter program out in Sonoya, Georgia. And that's where some of us will be going Friday night. And then some may be going Saturday night. So if you're interested, just let us know on that. And then next Saturday, not this Saturday, but next Saturday will be our outreach, and we'll be making, we'll be mentioning that some more this coming up Sunday. And then again, the following day is Easter, Easter Sunday, and then no services Sunday night. So just remember these things. All right, well, if that's all you have, then we will all meet in the altar, those that can, and have a time of prayer together. Brother Jeff will have a song just after, and then we'll bring the lesson for tonight. Thank you, Brother Jeff. And that's where our Christian journey all started, at Calvary. At Calvary. Mount Calvary. And then we all ended up at Calvary Baptist Church. So what a blessing, what a blessing, what a blessing. All right, tonight, I'm going to go ahead and give you my title right in the front. Sometimes I wait until I get into my introduction. But tonight I want to talk to you about discerning the devil. Discerning the devil. We mentioned the devil a little bit. And that's because he is a real problem in our world and in our lives. Of course, we don't give him no credit. We know ultimately God is in control and he is working in our lives. And we can't have victory over the devil. And ultimately we do have victory over the devil. One day he'll be in his own lake of fire. Revelation 20 verse 20 says that. But until then, he's a problem. And so it's our job to recognize he's a problem and to discern how he works and then plan accordingly to live a life of victory and fulfilling our purpose as to why God has us here. But the devil wants to tarnish your testimony. He wants to tarnish my testimony. But not only that, he wants to paralyze you with fear. He wants to paralyze me with fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind." So if God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, who has? The enemy has. And so he plays on our emotions, he plays on our fears, he plays on our worries and all of those things. Many times the devil, even just our own human nature, we think of the worst possible outcomes, don't we? We can have something going on in our life and then we can go down this rabbit hole of fear, anxiety, and worry. And just the devil, along with our own human nature, can just paint this worst possible outcome. And many times they don't ever come to pass. It's just the fear of something. So God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. So the devil has. And he wants to paralyze us with fear. Has anybody ever experienced paralyzing fear? Now there's fear of something. You're hesitant about doing something, about the outcome, but then there's paralyzing fear where you just cannot go another day. Your chest, the anxiety you feel, you think you may be having a heart attack or a stroke. This is a real thing, and paralyzing fear is not a good thing. No fear is a good thing other than the fear of the Lord. And so I want to talk to you again a few different things when it comes to discerning the devil. I actually want to dive a little more deeper into him and talk about his beginning. And then I want to talk about his fall. And then we're going to go a step further and we're going to look at his work and then his ending. His ending. So number one tonight, when it comes to discerning the devil, the devil's beginning. And so Satan, or the devil, is a created being. The scriptures teach us that the Lord made all that there is, including the devil. Turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter number 1. On the screen, you'll see 1 Peter 5:8. We'll get there in a minute. And I'm kind of proud of that backdrop I made today. I don't like the subject matter, but the lion and the backdrop. Colossians chapter number 1. Verse 15 through 17, we're going to see that the Lord created everything, including the devil himself. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, the Bible says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. So the Scriptures tell us He created everything, even the devil. Now, Satan was originally created to serve God and was perfect before God. Now, we're going to go to the Old Testament for a few. Turn, if you would, find Ezekiel 28. And we're going to mention a few things out of Ezekiel 28. We're going to see here that in Ezekiel 28 that Satan was originally created to serve God and was perfect before God. Now, as you're turning to Ezekiel 28, we do know that the writer here, Ezekiel, God has given him the words to write, and we know that he's talking about King Tyre here, the pride, the rise and fall of King Tyre. But also intertwined with that, he's talking about the devil. And I'll point out some things. So Ezekiel 28, verse number 11, listen to this. Ezekiel 28 in verse number 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Listen to this. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground and will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Now we can go on and on in reading this. Again, this is talking about the king of Tyrus or Tyre, but also he's talking about the devil here. And you can see that in these verses, talking about the Garden of Eden, talking about the anointed cherub, talking about how his heart was lifted up with pride and with beauty and was cast out of the mountain of God or heaven, talking about on the ground you will spend your days. And so you could see the similarities there. But Satan was originally created to serve God and was perfect before God. Verse 12 tells us he was full of wisdom in verse 12. He says, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom. So he was full of wisdom. That same verse says he was full or perfect in beauty. And so we're seeing a little bit of the created being, the devil here, in the beginning. Now, you don't have to turn there for the sake of time. We've got a lot to cover tonight. But the devil also goes by the name Lucifer. Lucifer. And that's found, you don't turn there, but Isaiah 14, in verse number 12, we find the name Lucifer. And Lucifer means bright, shining one, and would refer to the outward beauty of Satan. The Bible says that Satan is transformed into an angel of light. That's in 2 Corinthians 11:14. But he had an outward beauty to him. And again, the verse we just read is transformed into an angel of light. The devil knows how to trip us up and to deceive us into sinning against God. And so if he was beautiful in the beginning, and if he can transform himself into an angel of light, then he can make things seem appealing to us, okay, if he has that ability. And so tonight, we ought to beware that the devil knows how to trip us up and to deceive us into sinning against God. He's a type of person that can transform himself. He has a beauty to him, at least in the beginning. And you remember when Adam and Eve was in the garden? And you remember how the devil came up to Eve and hath God said you may not eat of every tree of the garden? And so we know that if you follow those verses out in chapter 3 of Genesis, the Bible says that the serpent was the most subtle beast of the field. Subtle, meaning he was cunning. He was crafty, subtle. And so the devil, before the curse was found, before the curse was pronounced upon him, most believe he had legs. He could stand up, and he was a beautiful creature. This was after he was cast out of heaven, of course. And so Eve really didn't think nothing about it whenever he came tempting her because of the beauty. And so I said that to say this, that the devil can tempt us because there is a beauty in his workings. Again, 2 Corinthians 11:14 says that he is transformed into an angel of light. So beware of his transformations and his temptations. Now, in Ezekiel 28, where we are now, verse 13, listen to this. The Bible says that he has built-in musical instruments. Verse 13, that latter part says, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in the day that thou was created. And so one of Satan's main weapons against man is music. Some believe that he was this cherub that created the worship of God, or with music being involved. If you read verse 14, says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire." So many believe that he actually led the worship of God. He has these built-in, verse number 13 says, the pipes, the workmanship of the tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. He has built-in musical instruments, a man of music. And you all know, as I just said a moment ago, that this is one of the main areas that he likes to pervert men and women in, the area of music. He works through music. Worldly music that promotes violence and death and alcohol and drugs and perverted sex and rebellion and many kinds of things along those lines. The devil is all behind it, and it's pumped in through music. I think we all could agree to that tonight. He uses music. Well, that's because he had a place of music for himself in the very beginning. Probably led the worship of God, or created worship of God in a sense. All right. And many believe Satan led the other angels in the worship of God. Verse number 14 again in Ezekiel 28. He was the anointed cherub that covereth. And so that's the very beginning of the devil. The devil's beginning. He was a created being. He was created to serve God, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty, built-in musical instruments, and anointed cherub that covereth, the Bible says. All right, that's the devil's beginning. Well, let's look at the devil's fall, his fall. Isaiah 14, if you would, tonight. Isaiah 14. Verse number 12. Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. Satan was lifted up in pride. Verse 12 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, listen to this, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And so we see here that his fall was wrapped up in his pride. It was his pride that got him kicked out of heaven. And a lot of people say, you ask and say, well, what was the first sin ever committed? A lot of us say of Adam and Eve, but it goes before that. It was that of the devil being lifted up in pride. That was the very first sin. So the first sin committed was Satan's sin of pride. He says, I will, I will, I will. Satan wanted the position of God. And that's what he does on earth now. He is wanting to be like God. He wants to get a following. He wants to, the devil, Satan, he has a counterfeit to everything that God has. And so he's still wanting to be like God and have control. He wants everyone to worship him. We know also that Satan, when he fell, he took other angels with him. There are fallen angels that are called demons. There is only one devil, but there are many demons. You know, somebody said, well, Brother Justin, pray for me, the devil's after me. And I know what they're saying, but in all reality, the devil is not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at the same time like God is. And so if one person says the devil's after me over here, another person says the devil's after me over here, well, he can't be at the same place. But he does have a military, and he has demons, fallen angels. There are good angels, then there are fallen angels, bad angels. There are a set amount of angels. Angels do not reproduce. And so they were created. And when the devil fell, he took a slew of angels with him. There is only one devil, but there are many demons. How many, we do not know. Again, angels are not a race and do not reproduce. In the scripture, angels are referred to as a host. And you can read that in Luke 2:13 later on, and actually Hebrews 12:22. And so it is against these demons that we must battle. They're everywhere, all time. They never rest, never get weary. All right, and so we must put on the whole armor of God if we're going to win the battle over Satan and his demons. And so we see that there, that the devil's fall had to do with pride. And we know that when he fell, he also took, there are also fallen angels that went with him. And so we see that there. And so when it comes to, again, battling the devil, battling these demons, we must put on the whole armor of God. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. The armor of God, what is it? Basically, you could say that the armor of God is the identity of Jesus Christ. It's something that we put on daily, and when the devil, when his demons see that and know that we've been with the Lord, then they have to flee. They can't resist the power of God, or they are actually resisted by the power of God. Now, in Ephesians chapter number 6, notice if you would, verse number 10, Ephesians 6, verse 10. Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil or the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications, and supplication for all saints. So that's reading Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. We have the armor of God here. All right. Verse number 14 says, to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The truth of the Word of God. And knowing the truth of the Word of God will set us free. Not just the Word of God will set us free, but knowing the Word of God will set us free. We have to know it. And he tells us to stand therefore, having our loins girt about with the Word of God, with truth. That word girt here is the same word for girdle or sash. In Bible days, they would wear long flowing robes. They would have a belt around. They would have tools and things they need to do things with. And many times they would travel. They would travel. Maybe they would walk. Maybe they would have times where they would jog or run somewhere to get there faster. And those long flowing robes, if they weren't careful, could be get intertwined, wrapped up in their legs or feet. And so they would have to make sure that they had a belt on, basically. Have their loins, their hips, this area, girt about. Their sash, their girdle, it all had to be intact so that they could travel and not have be tripped up. And so, in like manner, we are to stand having our loins girt about with truth, having on the Word of God in place, fastened to us as we live from day to day. The truth is the Word of God, and knowing the truth will set us free. The Christian must be rooted and grounded in the Word of God and grow into spiritual maturity. We let the devil have the upper hand when we fail to study God's Word or have a prayer life. It's important that we develop good study habits, and I'm preaching to the choir tonight, I understand that. It's good to continue those good habits, to have time to read the Bible, study the Bible. Even if it's just a verse a day, you are learning and you are putting that in your mind, in your heart. You are preparing to stand for that day. And so there's the girdle of truth. In the same verse, there's the breastplate of righteousness. He says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate covers and protects our heart and other vital internal organs. That breastplate would cover those things. It is with the heart that we are to seek after righteousness. We are to be holy as He's holy. And so if the Christian is to be a vessel God can use, then the Christian must be sanctified and ready and meet for the Master's use. Where does the devil want to attack us a lot? In the minds and in the hearts. He knows he can't take us to hell, but so therefore he wants to tempt us. He wants to draw us away from God, to tempt us, to get us paralyzed with fear, believing his lies so that he can attack us and have victory over us for that day. So he tells us to not only stand, therefore having your loins girt about with truth, but having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now verse 15 says, the shoes of the gospel, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So to have our feet shod means to be covered with shoes. Did anybody come to church barefooted tonight? Come on, somebody did. I know you did. Of course you didn't. Of course you didn't. Growing up, me and my brother would go to the grocery store with my mom all the time. And so there was a saying a long time ago called Kroger feet. I don't know if anybody's ever heard that term before, called Kroger feet. Well, growing up as little boys and other little kids, sometimes, you know, you'd just be, I don't know, running some errands with your parents or whatnot. But sometimes we'd go to the grocery store, no shoes on. Lived in the country, did things like that, you know, just Flintstone feet running to the grocery store, you know, flop, 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 flop. And you look at your feet, and feet be black from all the dirt on the floor. You know, Kroger feet. And and so anyway, but we don't go nowhere without shoes, right? All right. And so we all came to church with shoes on because we wanted to protect our feet. We wanted the shoes to get us safely where we were going. And so it means the shoes of the gospel, to have our feet shod, means to be covered with shoes. And so it's the Christian's job to carry the gospel to the entire world. The Bible says that those who preach the gospel of peace have beautiful feet. Beautiful feet. Everybody's feet, listen, I'm not saying take off your shoes and show your feet tonight. But what I'm saying is, believe it, whether you got beautiful feet or not, you got beautiful feet. The Bible says you do. All right? And that's found in Romans 10:15. Those who preach the gospel, and look, it's all of our job to share the gospel. And tonight, if we are gospel sharers, we've got beautiful feet. And so don't let nobody tell you otherwise. You got beautiful feet. A Christian must always keep his heart hot for the souls of men, always striving to be a soul winner. This is one of the areas the devil hopes to defeat us in, and that is the area of soul winning. He wants us to take our shoes off, is what the devil wants. The devil wants us to have Kroger feet. He wants our feet to get dirty. He wants our feet, listen, he wants us to take our shoes off. He wants us to step on a rock. He wants us to step on something. He wants us to stub our toe on the side of the bed, spiritually speaking. He don't want us carrying the gospel out. If he can get us to do that, then he has accomplished much. But there's the shoes of the gospel. Let us put on our spiritual shoes every day and be ready to share the gospel. Verse 16, there's the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Above all, notice, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The devil tonight does not waste any darts. I've said before, he don't waste arrows, he don't waste darts, he don't waste any ammunition. There's darts flying at us all day long, whether we realize it or not. And it takes that shield of faith. David in the Old Testament, Psalms, a lot of times he talks about a buckler. And I said this a few weeks ago, that there's a shield called the buckler that fastens from here to here, most believe. And it's to throw up when the men of those days would have, I don't know, a spear, a sword. They would throw up, and that buckler you'd put up like this, and it would block the blows from hitting your head and killing you. And so, in like manner, we have a buckler, the Word of God. And so whenever the devil comes throwing those darts, whether it's the shield of faith or the buckler, the same thing, it's a protectant. We are to throw up that buckler. No, devil, I'm not going to be defeated today. The devil says you can't have victory in your life. The devil says nothing will ever get better in your life. You throw up the buckler or the shield of faith and say, the Bible says God has a plan for me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that is extinguishing those fiery darts. That is extinguishing those arrows that fly by day. That is refuting what the devil says. He says you can't. God says you can. But you got to throw up the buckler, the shield of faith. You got to be familiar with the promises of God. That's why it's so important to memorize Scripture. He talks about the shield of faith. The word faith means to believe in, to trust in, and to rely upon. It means that we totally rely upon God and believe all that He says in His Word. Sunday morning, in preaching on things that linger, I'd mentioned walking on water. David Smith mentioned it as well. There comes a point in time in life where the things on the surface look bad. They don't look like they're going to change, okay? They don't look promising. And if we believe everything we see on the surface, then we can sink in paralyzing fear. So there comes a point in time in life where we take God's Word and we trust and believe in His Word regardless of what it looks like on the surface. That's called walking on water. That's called walking on the waves, walking on the Word. Because when Peter got out of the boat, what did he do? He walked on the water, which was walking on the word. Lord, if that be you, bid me to come out on the water. He said, come. So he was walking on the word. You may get a bad doctor's report. You may not have money to pay your bills. There may be something going on in the family, and the devil may get in your head and say, it's over. It'll never change. Strike you with a dart of paralyzing fear. And the question is, what are you going to do? You can argue with Satan, which gets you nowhere but down, further down that rabbit hole of darkness. Or you can say, devil, I don't know the outcome. I don't know what's going to happen. But God says he's going to work all things together for good to those that love him. And guess what? Tonight, I love the Lord and I'm saved. Whatever comes in my life, whether I like it or not, God is going to work it all together for good, somehow for my good and his glory. And so if things don't look promising, I'm just going to exalt God's word and say, God, I choose to believe you over my circumstances. And when I'm doing that, I'm walking on water. Now, I can start to sink in a moment. Take my eyes off that word. Look, I'm just going to think about my situation for a minute, try to reason it out. Shh, I'm sinking. Help, Lord! And he's there to pick me up. When Brother David preached that the other Tuesday, I got to thinking, you know, that's pretty awesome. Peter walked on water, and no doubt it was scary. But he was closer to God walking on water than he was in the boat. And he said, Lord, save me. Boom, he reached out his hand and saved him. And so the Lord is out on the water. He's not in the boat. And so no matter how scary it is, trusting God and his word in life, he is always right there. And he's closer to you on the stormy sea than he is on the quiet boat. And so that really helped me. Also in that message, he said they were rowing and they were going, and the storm was in their face, hitting them in the face. What did he say? He said the easy thing to do would be to turn around and let that wind propel you back to where you came from. And you know what the easiest thing to do in a storm in life is? To turn around, go back, is to give up. Say, what's the use of trying? I'm just going to quit. There's too many obstacles coming my way. There's too many problems coming my way. And that's what the devil wants. He wants us to quit. But you see, they were rowing. They were going this way. Storm was coming this way. God said, I want you to go to the other side. And that man of Gadara was over there that needed to be saved. And so that's the way they were going. It was God's will. And sometimes in life, it is God's will to face these roaring winds that are coming our way with obstacles and things flying. You ever seen shows with tornadoes and there's the cow going across the street? I think about that movie Twister a long time. Y'all remember that with Helen Hunt? Man, that was such a good movie. And then you see a house, hands raised in the back, Brother Randy, and then there's a house rolling across, and then the Dodge Ram goes right through the house. You know, look, there's stuff that comes in our life like cows coming, and we don't know where in the world it came from. I mean, there are huge obstacles in our way, but sometimes it is God's purpose in our life to do that because he perfects us. He molds us and makes. The easy thing to do would be what? Just let that wind just push us back. Go back the other way where we came from. But the challenge is to keep walking on that water. The challenge is to keep trusting in God. The challenge is to have our loins girt about with truth, that breastplate of righteousness on, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that shield of faith up, and to move on, because the devil wants us to turn around when it gets hard. Don't turn around tonight. Don't turn around. All right, we see that in verse 16. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The helmet of salvation. The helmet is designed to cover and protect the head. The real spiritual battlefield is in the mind. I go back to Monday night Jubilee when Brother Carl preached on the mind. Who enjoyed that Monday night? Amen, amen, amen. God had my name on that as well as he did you guys, preaching on the mind. The helmet is designed to cover and protect the head. the real spiritual battlefield is in the mind. If the devil can control our minds, then he controls our life. Isn't that right? He controls our minds. He controls our life. And I'm kind of hesitant to share this little story. It's not a secret. I'll just give you bits and pieces of it. Tim Ledford, some of you probably know where I'm going with this. Tim Ledford, and it's no secret. I mean, it's a complete miracle. I was at a shop the other day. For those who don't know him, he comes here and has a shop right down the road here. Tim Ledford Automotive, Wrecker and Towing. But he fell off a 20-foot wall a while back, and he landed on his head. And again, this is not my story to tell, but Brother Tim, he could have passed away. I mean, he had spinal fluid coming out of his nose. Okay, terrible, terrible situation. And of course, he had many surgeries, but one of the surgeries was going to be a very intensive surgery, having to do a lot of work on his brain and his skull. But right when they started doing it, out of nowhere, I mean, days upon days, he started to heal miraculously. He had a long recovery, but he did heal, and he told me that the other day. And again, there's more to it than that, but the man fell and hit his head on cement, a 20-foot drop. And so the head must be protected. I said that kind of just to say this. The head must be protected. It's fragile, okay? Things can happen to our brains and our mental mindsets. And so the helmet of salvation, a Christian must learn to control his thoughts, her thoughts, and cast down every thought or imagination that lifts itself above Christ and his will for our lives. He says for us to take the helmet of salvation. Of course, everyone must be saved, but then at the same time, our salvation will protect our minds if we comply when it comes to the attacks of the devil. Now, okay, turn to 2 Corinthians for a moment, chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians 10, kind of hold your place here in Ephesians, if you would. Sorry, 2 Corinthians 10. Just want to read this verse word for word. 3-5, listen to this. It's about controlling our thoughts and minds, having on the helmet of salvation, trusting the Lord to protect us. Make sure I'm here. 2 Corinthians 10, okay, verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Pause right there for a moment. The kind of fight that we're in is a spiritual fight, and we can't fight it with physical weapons. You know that. We can't pick up a hammer and say, I'm going to just get you out of my life, devil or demon. Yeah, that don't work. You know that. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And again, what he's saying here is, he's saying that we must learn to control our thoughts, bring them into captivity. Those thoughts that are lifted up above Christ, those thoughts that are lifted up and above Christ and his will for our lives, the things that are contrary to Christ, the things that are contrary to his will for our life, we need to bring captivity. We need to arrest, if you would, those thoughts and bring them into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And so we see that. And so there's much of the armor. There's the helmet of salvation. And then there's the sword of the Spirit. Back in Ephesians 6, verse 17, He says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword is the powerful Word of God. Hebrews 4:12, don't turn there, but it says that. Quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, and does many, many different things. And so it is the Word of God that the Christian can strike a crushing blow to the devil. We use the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Every time the Word of God is preached or taught, the Spirit is at work, convicting hearts of some and encouraging hearts of others. On the day of Pentecost, it was through the preaching of Peter that sinners were pricked in their hearts and 3,000 souls were saved. The Word of God is powerful, and the Word of God is the power of God unto salvation. So the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. We know that, the promises of God, and what it says in its truth. Verse 18 concludes when it comes to the armor of God, says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We ought to pray about everything. Little stuff, big stuff. God wants to know about it. He tells us to cast all His care upon Him, for He cares for us. And so prayer, we must remember that prayer is one of the greatest weapons that we have. If we are to help others and ourselves, then we must pray, and sometimes even fast. Matthew 17:21 says that. All right, so tonight we see the devil's beginning. We see the devil's fall. It was pride, and we are contending with him, and we are to wear the armor of God, which is the identity of Christ. We are to put on the Lord Jesus every day, and then we are to move forward in our day. Now, what about this, the devil's work? Well, we know his work ultimately is one thing, to destroy. His work is to destroy. Now, there are various names as he attempts to destroy lives that he's gone by. Number one, he's gone by the devil. This is our main verse I got on the screen, 1 Peter 5:8. If you want to just listen along or turn there, it's up to you. But 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, is what he says. 1 Peter 5:8, is that what I told you? Yeah, 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as we have in the backdrop, a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And so he's a lion. I've seen a reel from Facebook a long time ago, and it was a picture of a little lamb in a field, or it was a wounded lamb. And I said, what's this all about? I'm looking at a lamb in the middle of a field. And the caption said, keep watching. So I kept watching. And I almost gave up watching, but it said, keep watching a little longer. Keep watching. Don't turn away. Keep watching. All of a sudden, I seen a little dot moving in the background. And then it came closer and closer and closer. And you know what it was? It was a lion that had spotted that wounded lamb from the other side of a mountain. And it came all that way, and it totally ate. It ate that innocent lamb. And that was disturbing to watch. The other day, I didn't intend on finding this, but there was another reel I seen, and it was a wounded baby goat. And there was this, what are them big old lizards called? Komodo dragon. A Komodo dragon seen it. And did you see that, Miss Tammy? Wasn't that disturbing? I mean, it almost made me cry, y'all. I'm going to be serious with you. I love animals. It ate the baby goat, and you could hear it crying in the belly of the dragon. Crying, wailing, and whelping. So sad. And I mean, it bothered me. I mean, it really bothered me. I almost wanted to turn into an animal activist when I seen that. I really did. I almost like got up the next day with a picket and go to the end of the street, you know, just, don't hurt animals. Don't mistreat animals. That bothered me so deeply. But you know what? That's the same thing that the devil's doing. He wants to devour God's lambs. And he pounces on us at our most vulnerable times. Not when we're strong, not when we've had a great service on Sunday, and he's going to attack you then. He's going to attack you on Monday when you're starting your day. When there's no singing and no preaching, no fellowship, it's just you and your situations and your day. He will try to strike at you a dart of paralyzing fear. And if he can get you down a rabbit hole thinking one thing, then he can send a temptation on the other side. Like the old saying goes, hook, line, and sinker. He's got us. And don't matter how old or young you are, it's for all of us. He wants to be the Komodo dragon. He wants to be the lion coming from the other side of the field. And so he wants to destroy. And he is destroying many families and many lives. He is keeping a lot of people from getting saved. And those who are saved, for some who are not living a guarded life, he gets in through any door or crack or crevice that he can. And so we have to take this thing serious. We have to stand guard and protect ourselves. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your enemy, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So he's just walking around licking his chops. So he's known as the devil. He's to destroy the lion here in 1 Peter 5:8. He's the hungry lion looking for the souls to devour. We don't have to turn there for the sake of time. I'll just run through these. Genesis 3:1, he's the serpent. Satan is like a cunning snake ready to strike its deadly venom into its prey. He's a murderer. He's called a murderer in John 8:44. Satan is full of hate and seeks to kill. This is the opposite of Jesus Christ, who is the truth and seeks to give life. In John 10:10, he's the thief. Satan will steal and wants to steal men's souls, joy, family, minds, character, health. Revelation 12:3, he's the dragon. He can even be the Komodo dragon, what we mentioned. This would refer to how dreadful and powerful Satan is. Matthew 4:5, he's the tempter. Satan knows how to tempt all men to draw them into sin. Yes, he knows our strengths and weaknesses. Yes, he has seen how we respond in different situations, and he knows. He's the tempter. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, he's the little g god of this world. The little god, or spelt lowercase G-O-D, means he is not the god, of course, but he is a little god. And this means that he has the power over the air. He has some power. All right? Men in this world, he wants to, the devil wants men to serve him and worship him. So Satan is a little god that men in this world serve and many worship. I just mentioned this just a second ago. He's the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2:2. Satan travels, listen, through the atmosphere from one place to the next to carry out his evil work. And we know that angelic beings can travel very fast. Daniel 9:21 says so. The Bible says there are three heavens. It doesn't mean the... Okay, there's the first heaven is the atmosphere, the birds and the fowls of the air. That's called the first heaven. The second is outer space, the second heaven. But the abode of God is the third heaven. All right? And so the devil is traveling in this atmosphere, invisible, behind the scenes. I used this illustration before, and I kind of like it because it makes a lot of sense. Like, so right now, there's all kinds of things happening in this church. There's fights taking place right now. There's people being murdered right now in this church. There's celebrations in this church right now. There's cooking taking place right now. You say, I don't see that. Well, it's in the atmosphere. If you have a receiver, you can bring it in from the airways of the web and internet. If you have a phone or a TV, you can turn that on and tap in, and you can find all those shows. It's taking place. It's in the atmosphere. It can be brought in through a device, through a receiver. Same way the devil works in the atmosphere. So he is the prince of the power of the air. And angelic beings can travel very fast and do different things. 1 Thessalonians 2:18, his name is Satan, which means adversary. Satan is the enemy of God and all mankind. Revelation 9:11, don't turn there, I'll give it to you. We're getting ready to wrap up. He is called Abaddon. Abaddon. A-B-A-D-D-O-N. Revelation 9:11, 911. He is called Abaddon. What does that mean? Abaddon means destruction or destroyer. Abaddon in the name Apollyon. Destruction, destroyer. Same thing. All right, so Abaddon. He's also called liar in John 8:44. Satan is called a liar. This is the opposite of Jesus Christ, who is the truth. And so the devil is the liar. He is a liar. All right, so we see the many names. We know he's come to destroy, and he goes by many names to accomplish that work. We just read that to you. But also Satan's work is to hinder. It's to destroy, but it's to hinder. 1 Thessalonians 2:18, I'll just give it to you. Paul says, Satan hindered us. Satan will hinder anyone who is attempting to do something for the Lord. Satan will use people who are not doing something for the Lord to hinder those who are. I love this. There's boat rowers and boat rockers. Let us be boat rowers and not boat rockers. And I know that we are boat rowers. We're rowing our way. I'm about to be rowing our way home here in a minute. Those who are busy for the Lord don't have time to start trouble. Those who are not busy for the Lord start trouble because they're not doing nothing. So Satan will hinder anyone who is attempting to do something for the Lord. Sometimes he uses God's people. Sometimes he uses the lost. We can be assured that Satan will fight everything that she attempts to do for the Lord. The Christian can be assured that God will give us victory over Satan and bless our labor. 1 Corinthians 15:57-58, and all that's mentioned there, that the Lord will bless our labor and give us victory over the devil. All right, Satan's job is not only to destroy, to hinder, but to blind the lost from receiving the gospel. We don't have time to get into all that, but he has blinded the minds of many, and it's our job to get the glorious gospel out. Satan's desire is to drag the souls of men to hell. He will blind men to the truth of the gospel by deceiving them through sinful pleasures, wealth, popularity, false doctrine, religion, on and on we go. Satan is at work to steal the seed of the word from the hearts of men. Sometimes during altar call, I'll say, you know, come now while, you know, the Lord is speaking, while the Lord is working. If you don't come, then and you wait and then you get better, then you'll never deal with that. If you tarry till you're better, you'll never come at all. The best time to respond to the gospel is when the gospel is presented. That's when the Lord is working. And so just remember that. Satan's work is to blind sinners to the gospel, to hinder, to destroy. And then lastly tonight, and we're done, we see the devil's destruction. And so we looked at the devil's beginning, the devil's fall. We looked at the devil's work, but then lastly, the devil's destruction. And that's just one verse. I said Revelation 20:20 earlier, I think. I meant to say, maybe I did, Revelation 20:10. You don't have to turn there, but you can write it down if you like. One day, Satan will be cast into the lake of fire to be tormented forever. He will be in his own lake of fire. Isn't that a blessing? That there's coming a day where he won't be trouble anymore. There's coming a day where we're going to be there and not here. No more temptation, no more pain, no more suffering, no more fears, no more worries, no more cares. He's going to be down there and we're going to be up there. What a blessing tonight. Amen? Amen. Father, we love you tonight. We praise you for who you are, for what you do, God. Thank you for the lesson tonight. Just some familiar things so that we can discern the enemy. that we can see Him coming. Help us just put on Jesus every day. He's in us. Just help us apply Him every day. Give us victory, Lord. Help us all rest well tonight. Get us home safely. Bring us back safely on Sunday. And Lord, we're just excited to support our young people in the hour of worship in the morning and in the evening. We love you tonight and we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Anything else to mention before we conclude? Well, thanks everybody for being here. And so good to have you again, Miss Vicki. And hope you enjoyed being in the choir on Sunday. And it was great having you there. And anyway. All right, well, everyone just have a blessed night and be safe when you're out. All right. Class dismissed.